Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Around the time of the Reformation, just before, most likely, if you went to church, you would go to pray and to watch. Though it would be a Eucharistic liturgy, and you would likely be there for that purpose, you would yet not receive Holy Communion. And the reason? One might say, if one was speaking generously, that the warning of St. Paul was being taken very seriously, where in 1 Corinthians 11, 28 and 29, he says, Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And that is intense. Indeed, we heard from this passage last week in the form of the exhortation, which in the traditional Anglican Church is read on the first Sunday of Advent, penitential season, first Sunday of Lent, another penitential season, and Trinity Sunday. It used to be read every single Sunday, but now just the three. As the benefit is great, so the danger is great if received unworthily. Perhaps then it's better not to receive at all. There goes the logic. Reformers looked at the situation and saw something wrong with that idea indeed. They remembered Jesus' words, If you do not eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you have no life in you. And so on the one hand, eating condemnation does not sound so great. But on the other hand, having no life in you is nothing better. That doesn't sound so wonderful either. And where is the middle way? There's only one option, to receive and receive worthily, to participate with the right heart. Thomas Cranmer, the compiler of the Book of Common Prayer and composer of many of the collects, wrote one of the greatest prayers perhaps ever composed for the Christian church. It's precisely the heart of worthy participation in the Eucharist. If you wonder whether you receive worthily or not, compare the condition of your heart to the strains of this prayer. We do not presume to come to this thy table, O merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in thy manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under thy table, but thou art the same Lord whose property is always to have mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of thy dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, partake, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body and our souls washed through his most precious blood. Benefit, no condemnation, that we may evermore dwell in him and he in us. Here is the prayer of someone who understands that they must receive, but they must receive worthily. There is one phrase in that prayer, though, that ought to stand out to us today that expresses the right heart, the right kind of faith, and it is the words of the woman of Tyre and Sidon, the Syrophoenician woman. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under thy table. Jesus is out in the area of Tyre and Sidon. Jesus meets a woman whose daughter is demon-possessed. She asks for him to heal her, and what happens next is difficult to understand without context. For Jesus ignores her at first, and then Jesus begins a dialogue that includes more difficult words. It is not right to take the children's bread and to cast it to, cringe, close your eyes, look aside, dogs. Ooh. And since you haven't gotten up and left yet, that's the second time you heard that today, I'll continue. In case you thought you misheard Jesus, or perhaps this is a misprint, or a copyist's error or something, poor translation. Matthew 10, verse 5, earlier we read, These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans, enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And there's a deep sigh and a rubbing of the temples. And we ask, why can't the gospel just be straightforward? God's plan is always for the beloved sons and daughters of Abraham. We may try to ease our confusion about a gospel that's for everyone, which is prevented from reaching the Gentiles, by saying, aha, well, why is Jesus in the area of Tyre and Sidon in the first place then? See, there's no one but Gentiles there. Why is Jesus in the area of Tyre and Sidon? Some history. After all, this area was just 300 years before conquered by Alexander the Great. Tyre, then an island, was violently conquered because they refused to let Alexander come and sacrifice on their altar of the great temple of their god Melkart, also known as Baal Sir. And if you look that up, Alexander actually spent years building a bridge from the land out to Tyre so that the army could finally get out there. The ruins are still underwater. The very same Baal that featured prominently in 1 Kings chapter 16, where in this very area, near Mount Carmel, 800 years earlier, Elijah had shown to these people that there is no true God but Yahweh, as the prophets of Baal could not wake Baal from his slumber, no matter what contortions they had twisted themselves into, nor how they begged. This is that area. Now Jesus was in the presence of a woman whose daughter was demon-possessed, and you might say, well, no wonder. Her people had persisted in their Baal worship, though Baal had been proven at least not to exist, or at worst, to be a demon, a demonic power. And so why was Jesus even there, out there in this pagan territory? In Jesus' time, this area was ruled by Romans, true. And before that, Alexander, and before that, Persians, and before that, Babylonians. But long before even Elijah had stood on Mount Carmel and called upon God to expose the nothingness of Baal, of Tyre and Sidon, this land was at the very outer reaches of the land conquered by the Hebrews in the book of Joshua. 400 years before Elijah, we're going way back, at the conquest of this area was given to the tribe of Asher and the descendants of Asher. Asher, the son of Jacob, Jacob, the son of Isaac, Isaac, the son of Abraham. Jesus was at the outer reaches of the promised land, the original border included Tyre. Jesus was not outside the boundary, rather he was within, and this woman was a guest. Jesus was about to fulfill God's ultimate plan of salvation, which had begun with a chosen man, Abraham, and a chosen people, the Hebrews, and through them, as the original covenant was made, all nations would be blessed. Now the Lord said to Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed, including the families of Tyre and Sidon. The plan was unfurling, as it had always been in God's good time. And here was this woman asking for a blessing for her family. And her question really amounts to this: Jesus, Lord, could you hurry this up a little bit? It had been centuries and centuries. Now you're here, Lord. Could we just skip to the end where all the families of the earth are blessed because I have this daughter and she's sick now? Not a century from now, right now. Jesus says, I'm going to ignore this. The king has arrived in his kingdom, She can wait. She doesn't understand. And as he said to his mother at Cana, so he answers her likewise, as if to say, Woman, what have I to do with thee? My hour has not yet come. But then something happens that must have drawn a smile from Jesus' face. And then just as he said, all right, we'll turn the water into wine, he looks at her. And the curtain is drawn back on this woman, and we find in her that God's grace had already spilled over into the Gentiles. She showed a faith to be rivaled only by the centurion, whose prayer we also speak in our liturgy. Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldst come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed, my soul shall be healed. Here again will be a healing at a distance, but more impressively, a mature faith. A faith that cannot be offended, cannot be insulted. The situation's too dire for that. There's no time to be offended. I have a daughter right now. The king has drawn close, and salvation is within reach. Even the dogs eat the crumbs from the children's table. What was God's plan for the Jews but to fulfill all their hopes and dreams of the Messiah, and then to use them for the spreading of this glorious gospel? Have you ever sat at a table of a family with a dog when the children were allowed to feed the dog from the table? And that's a naughty thing, isn't it? But how joyous the child is to feed the dog. And how grateful the dog is to sit beneath the table and receive the crumbs. To use the chosen people of God to bring about salvation for all nations, that was the happy plan. And what joy there would have been for all. But the people of God ultimately would not receive. They would not receive Jesus. But you and I, the church, are grafted in nonetheless. We eat not only the crumbs now, but we are at the table and are offered the bread as children of the Most High. The woman from Tyre and Sidon and her helpless daughter are a picture of the church, and the dogs from Tyre and Sidon are you and me. So I hope you weren't too offended. So let's start all over. Jesus came into an area where you and I live. And because of the compassion of Christ, our cry for salvation was heard. And because of the plan of salvation, including all nations, you and I were included. But we may not approach him as those who are entitled. You do not deserve the love of God. He does not owe it to you. Nevertheless, he has loved you with an everlasting love. And the evidence is the cross. And the evidence is the altar set out before you now. And you have been invited to receive from the table. And today, February 28th, 2021, you came out to meet him. And that's good. Because according to Christ, you've not been given the option to stay home. Not forever. For whoever does not eat my flesh and drink my blood has no life in him. You've also not been given the option to approach arrogantly, nonchalantly, presumptuously, or with an air of entitlement. For any who eat unworthily eat and drink to their own condemnation. The woman from Tyre and Sidon is us, and this is why we speak her words, praying, We are not worthy to gather up the crumbs under thy table, but thou art the same Lord whose property is always to have mercy. May the Lord indeed have mercy upon us and grant unto us that woman's exemplary faith, a faith that would not be turned away, that could not be dissuaded, that could not be discouraged, that could not be offended or insulted. It's much too dire a situation to mess around with that. A faith that would not be denied the gracious and loving hand of Jesus Christ even today, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and that our souls washed through his most precious blood, that we may evermore dwell in him and he in us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.